a Rayo Original Podcast.
Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation.
From Greatest Hits Radio,
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Yes, gather round. It is time once again for the world's favourite podcast to broadcast another show, because we're all here, we've all got all the stuff, we've got all the scripts and all the words and all the confessions kindly sent by you.
All the scripts?
Mm-hmm. All the scripts. Yeah. Okay. And millions and millions and millions downloading this show across the universe. For example, well, people who are paid to be on the show include Sister Susie is in the pub.
I am indeed.
Brother Matthew's in his gutter.
Yes, I am.
And Sister Holly, who is back guarding the cupboard of tat, and she hasn't had a holiday for at least a week.
Yep.
I think it's time. You should book in some
time.
Yeah,
I really should, shouldn't I?
Coming up on the show this week, we're going to stop by the parish notice board, where your correspondence and five-star reviews live. There are apparently one or two that are four stars, but they...
Who's leaving a four-star review? What's the point of that? You're not getting read out.
No.
You either got to be five or zero if something was really bad.
Well, no, just don't leave a zero.
Don't leave us a review.
Bring the average down.
Why would anyone... Yeah,
we just need... It's just five.
Mm. Yeah, five stars or nothing.
If it's four, keep it to yourself. We're going to also open the door to the not-for-broadcast section, where we store all the confessions that are just not appropriate for 5:45 p.m., when we expect a family audience. Yeah. We like people to have, just to gather around, just like it was in the old days, round the old Joanna, sing some songs, talk about the Kaiser, and listen to this podcast. Everyone all together.
Yeah.
And also the stars of the podcast, all this week's confessions from the Drive Time show on Greatest Hits Radio, including Nigel's snowball story, Warm Toast for Tea, Colin's school tale, Wired for Sound, Gorgeous George's confession, the theme from Jaws. But first, we're going to get ready for a trip on the high seas with Mr. Bartholomew Blackbeard's tale, Yo-Ho-Ho, and a bottle of rum.
Simon Mayo's confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession comes from Mr. Bartholomew Blackbeard.
Right.
Not his actual name.
No.
Father Simon and fellow brethren, back in the early noughties, my wife, Mrs. Blackbeard, and I were having a fantastic adventure sailing around some little-known, but also some very well-known, islands in the Caribbean.
Ooh.
Not on one of the many large, vulgar cruise ships, but on a small, tasteful yacht manned by our very helpful Captain Rick.
Okay.
Nice.
What do you think?
No, go on.
We had been on our journey for quite a few days, and our confidence was growing as to the day-to-day processes of operating the yacht, hoisting the sails, and dropping the occasional anchor. Everything was going, I guess you could say, swimmingly, with only leisurely dipping and sunbathing on deck, taking us away from our duties. We sailed to our next destination, a small cove on a very small island, which had a reputation for its rum and gin bar, which was a not-to-be-missed venue. We arrived late afternoon, dropped anchor, at which point Captain Rick informed us that, although the island looked like paradise, it did suffer with 21st-century pirates. And they were nothing like Jack Sparrow and his friends in the film, and they were, in fact, just after any mobiles, watches, and cash that they could get their hands on. But they were definitely fierce and scary, and everyone needed to be on maximum alert. Therefore, to keep things safe, Captain Rick would stay on board, and we would inflate the little dinghy and row ashore to enjoy the facilities.
Okay.
Ready for our night out? We made the shore in just a few minutes, rowing like the Oxford team, and after securing the dinghy, we hit the said bar. It is safe to say, Father Simon, that we can report back that the local rum and gin were indeed very, very fine indeed. Too many indeeds, but anyway, they were the rum and the gin.
They were fine, weren't they?
After a while, you forget what words you're using.
Yeah.
And after 1 or maybe 4 hours sampling the local delicacies, we decided to make our way back to the yacht. We found our dinghy and slid into it without too much trouble. I took to the oars and started out to the bay. I was, of course, facing backwards with my wife, Mrs. Bartholomew Blackbeard, giving directions. Of course, we sang loudly appropriate songs. 15 men on a dead man's chest.
Of course, yeah.
Yo-ho-ho and a bottle of rum. Also, yo-ro-heave-ho. These, These were all pirate songs.
They were. Yeah,
classics, which you have to do under these circumstances, particularly if fueled by rum and gin. And then my wife says, well, I think we've got a problem here. At which point, I turn... That's the way pirates
it
talk.
It is, yes. No, no.
Is it?
Yeah. At which point, I turn around to see approximately 20 or 30 identical white yachts in the moonlight, all of which look precisely like ours. Most being hire boats, again, like ours, and they just had a number on the side with no names. We didn't know our number. We decided that what we would have to do is just guess and have a punt and pull alongside what was hopefully our yacht and then quietly say, yo-ho-ho, or something piratey, you know, because that's what you do.
Is it?
Yes. Anyway, this did not go down.
Oh, did it not?
Didn't it?
No.
Surprise.
Then we would quietly shout, Captain Rick, bottle of rum. Captain Rick, bottle of rum. Anyway, the problem was the fact that everyone in the harbour that night had been given the heads up about pirates and were all sleeping very light and not expecting a boarding party shouting, Captain Rick, yo-ho-ho, have you got any rum at 3 a.m. in the morning? One boat after another greeted us like we were from the Jolly Roger, armed with cutlasses and sporting wooden legs and parrots squawking about pieces of eight. We were yelled at, threatened with physical violence, and one person who took it upon himself to tell us the calibre of his gun that he had. Yeah. And if we took one further step on his boat, he was going to use it. I kept saying that all we wanted to have was a cup of tea and a biscuit. This was dismissed as a likely story and just the kind of thing a pirate would say. We eventually spotted a flashlight being shone in our direction, and not for the first time on the adventure, Captain Rick came to our rescue. We wished to ask forgiveness to all the fellow sailors that we must have given quite a shock to with our drunken attempts to find our yacht and bunks. A fantastic night, though, we had, but no doubt the other sailors in the harbour would probably wish that we didn't. Lots of love, Mr. Bartholomew Blackbeard. I'm not sure pirates actually sign off by saying lots of love.
Do they not?
I wouldn't have thought so. They would be more piratical and dangerous and scary.
Yes. Yeah.
But anyway, Suze, what do you say to Mr. Blackbeard?
Well, it sounds like great fun, and I'm definitely up for visiting said gin and rum place because it sounds great. However, how do you expect you're going to find your boat? They all look the same. You should have paid attention to the number. And if I thought there were pirates around, I probably wouldn't have appreciated you trying to board my yacht anyway. But I just think it's quite fun, and I don't know why, but I'm in a forgiving mood, Blackbeard. So
yeah. That's probably all the hot toddies that you've been consuming. Brother Matthew, what do you say?
Well, I'm going to forgive because, you know, it's not as if modern-day pirates announce themselves by saying yo-ho-ho and having the pieces of eight anymore, do they? So really the people on board the yacht should have known that these weren't pirates at all. They were just people who'd had a bit too much of the gin and the king's ginger, etc. So I'm going to forgive life amongst the haves and the have yachts, I think. So for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
I hope you're embarrassed about that.
I went on a little journey there, didn't I? Just winding my way up to the have and have yachts, but I'm still very happy.
Well, it was a meander which went nowhere in particular.
No, well, there's pretty typical, I thought.
Interesting to have a confession which has got scuba diving in it, but doesn't involve naked Germans, because normally they all end up on the beach.
Oh, yes.
And Germans.
I figured as soon as they went to the cove, it was going to be, and nobody had any clothes
on. And they're all from Dusseldorf again. Okay, so let's step ashore then, and let's see what's been pinned to the parish notice board. Matt. Do you have some five-star reviews?
I'm delighted to say that I do indeed have five-star reviews. Ian, real name, says five stars, a public service. Simon is lovely.
Hello.
Susie is stern. And Holly dishes out the mugs.
Yes.
But let's be honest, Matt is the glue, the glitter, and the moral compass.
Moral compass.
Five shimmering stars.
Moral compass.
Compass.
Even I would be.
But I agree with you. Well done, Ian. Excellent stuff. Jenny 79 says five stars. I love this podcast. The confessions are brilliant. Simon does an excellent job reading them out. The NFB section, not
for broadcast.
Not for broadcast, well done. Is always funny, but the best bit is the code phrases. I always laugh so hard, it makes my week. I also like that you often can't remember the next podcast where the code phrase came from. I also like that you often can't remember the next podcast where the code phrase came from.
You always do that thing where you say like, oh, and shout out to this person, this person, this person, because they said the code phrase, which was chilling in a bush or something. And you're like, I don't know what that means or what how that relates to anything. You always forget.
The answer there, Jenny, is that we instantly forget all the podcasts as soon as we recorded them. Keep up the fantastic work, says Jenny79. Always five
glittering
stars.
I just want to point something out to Holly. You'll be like this at our age.
Yeah. No. This is on its way. Why did I come into this room? I don't know. And Nate says, five stars. Your podcast is the highlight of my week. You really do feel like a warm hug. The circle of life is complete. We've all learned something. And for that reason, Matt is my favourite and I give this podcast 5 stars. Well done.
What kind of voice?
Nate.
That was a weird voice.
Was it? No, it was
sort of vocal
incorrect.
Fry going on
there. Fry. I like that. What is vocal fry?
Vocal Fry.
I have no idea what it is.
Lead singer of ABC.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. Vocal Fry. What's Vocal Fry? Explain Vocal Fry,
what is
Holly.
Vocal Fry?
Well, a lot of Californians have Vocal Fry. It's where their voice is a little bit like this. It's Fry.
Oh, that!
That's
right.
Vocal
okay.
Fry.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when you go like 5 stars, that's five Fry. Stars. It's like...
Wow, okay. Like that. So if you go, hey, what's happening, dude?
That's what
it is.
Like that.
Is that right?
Yeah, maybe if you
sounds
held,
like a sheep. Like
it's like this. It's that sort of thing. It's like that's where it's
drawl. That's just a drawl. Isn't
yeah,
it?
But
like
it's
it.
Vocal. It's another term for it. Vocal fry. Where the voice sort of sits. I don't know, in a slightly weird place.
Okay, this is a whole new.
I tell
idea.
You what, you what? Know. Lord Reith, again, big fan of this podcast, as we
think?
Know. Yeah. And we're all learning something.
Dead for a while.
Laughing and learning.
Susie, what have you selected from the notice board, please? Thank you.
Well, I think you'll like this one. It's an email from Danny Boy the Trucker, who says, "Dear Collective, I'm sending you this email in reply to a confession that you aired earlier this year. The confession was involving a truck driver parked at a truck stop in South Yorkshire where he was chatted up by one of the local ladies.
Oh, yes.
He then told this lovely lady the registration of a different lorry so she could go and visit. I'm late to the party of the new Confessions podcast and I'm currently catching up with all your old ones. And now I've listened to that confession involving the truck driver, I would like to say... I was the truck driver parked opposite in the lorry that he sent the lady to.
No.
Well then.
The reason I was irate about being woken up as I was starting an early shift at 1 a.m, but I would like to say I offer this driver my forgiveness as I would have done the same thing. Lol. I would also like to say what absolutely cracking job you're doing, and if there's any possibility of any tap from the wonderful Sister Holly, that would be amazing. A new mug could sit pride of place on the dashboard of my red lorry. Many thanks in advance. Danny Boy, the Trucker."
Red lorry, yellow lorry was one of the great tongue twisters.
Yeah, they were a band as well, weren't they?
Yeah.
Red lorry, yellow lorry.
But was it?
Didn't do very well because no one could say that name. Yeah, red lorry, yellow lorry.
Or red leather, yellow leather. That's also another good
yes,
one.
Yes.
And also chip shop. That's another difficult
chip shop.
Yes.
Not difficult to say.
Say it many
chip
times.
Shop.
Say it many
chip
times
shop.
Fast.
Chip shop.
Chip chop. You see, you said.
No, I said chip shop.
You did.
Oh.
You said chip chop, so that doesn't work. Anyway, Danny Boy the Trucker. It's interesting to when you get the other half of a confession, which is very good. So thank you. I think he deserves something, Sister Holly.
I think he does. Yeah, let's send him a nice postcard signed by Saul and a mug.
Oh,
and a mug.
Very
wow.
Good.
Yes.
We should do Trucker Tat. Trucker
we
Tat.
Should.
We should bring that.
Yeah, no one's ever thought of that before.
Trucker Tat.
Let's
another tongue twister.
No. Let's be very clear that that is not.
Yes. Okay. Trucker Tat. That's going to be a new thing. Suze will sort that out.
Yes.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Suze.
Keep your additions to the parish notice board coming. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Couple of mentions. Go to Paul Frame, Max, Leo, and Coco, Janine Moore, Chat Subo 657, Lightbound. Stevie Jenkins 13. They were amongst those who got in touch with the secret code phrase from last week's podcast, which was, of course, keyboard as a scoop. And I do remember precisely why that was.
Yeah, we're not going to get into that again.
No.
No,
not unless you've got a keyboard. Otherwise, you can't get into that at all. Matt will have a new secret code phrase at the end of this podcast, I believe.
I believe I will.
Yeah. Now it's time for the Mark Knopfler section. Everything that you send us that is just too utterly revolting or illegal to broadcast at tea time, starting with Hannah. Oh, Hannah. Vocal fry.
Yeah.
Vocal fry. It may well have been a couple of decades ago, but that doesn't excuse you and your partner getting frisky at the back of the cinema. The details were not PG enough for tea time listening, and so please refrain from that kind of thing.
No, we don't like it.
Was that it? They just had in the back of the...
They just had what, Matt?
A bit of Les Dawson there for our older listeners. Yeah. So that was it. There was nothing. There was no twist.
There was no twist.
So Suze obviously edited this before we got to it. So obviously, was it just sort of just vulgar?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Too much detail. Not needed. Right, so, and actually, it was. I feel like it was more showing off.
One of those.
Yeah.
You see, okay. So my contention is that obviously, first of all, Susie was quite correct because her judgment is final.
Yeah.
And if Hannah had been smarter, you could have written that confession and made it acceptable.
Yes.
If you just have another go.
Get rid of the filth.
Get rid of the filth. Yes, absolutely.
Maybe have the stewards, what do they call them? Those people that come on.
Ushers.
Ushers, loads of ushers.
Also, make up some stuff. That's also.
Just make it up. Also,
but make it respectable.
Don't sit it in the cinema. Put it in space. Anyway, yes. What else?
Put it in space.
Don't go to the cinema. People go to the cinema to see a film, not to listen to Rumpy Pumpy happening at the back. Thank you very much indeed.
But you don't like it when people eat popcorn in the cinema.
Correct.
That is true.
Or go on their phone or take their shoes off.
Take their shoes off.
Or talk.
Anyone in this room done two of those things? Not looking at anyone, Holly?
I take because it's comfy. My shoes don't smell, so it's fine.
You don't think so? Everyone else can smell it.
I don't think they can. When you're in the sofas, you know, if you're in the sofa cinema.
Yeah, I know the sofa cinema. Yes.
Yeah. And then you just, you know, you get your popcorn and your banana milkshake.
No.
And then you take your shoes off.
Just take my shoes off, everyone.
And then I use my coat as a blanket.
Fall asleep.
And you go on your phone?
No, I don't go on my phone.
No. Are you
but
sure?
If I'm confused though during it, I might ask my partner.
Ask your partner the plot.
What's going on?
Or you might ask Siri. Hey Siri, what's going on?
What was he in?
Oh yes, of course. Yes. Isn't he dead?
Good. I thought he was dead.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Yeah. I think that's what you should do. Yeah.
The only thing is you can eat a soft roll with soft cheese in it. That's silent. Nothing else is acceptable.
A soft buttered roll.
Yes. Or you could maybe suck a Rolo or something like that. But anything harder than that is completely unacceptable.
Or not eat for, you know, an hour and a half.
Yes.
Yeah, but the popcorn keeps yourself. You going, you know.
Does it?
Yeah, but it's a treat. Have you been in that sofa cinema? They have like pizzas and burgers.
Oh,
that's just wrong.
I think that's wrong.
Oof.
It's like the end of civilization.
No.
Anyway, where were you? It's the Mark Knopfler section. So Hannah, but you're no good, are you, Hannah?
No.
Come on, you have to do better. Try again. Send it in again. Change your name and then rewrite it.
See
what happens. And also Jerry. It's never a good look, Jerry, to excuse bad behaviour by being under the influence. It's not big and it's not clever, especially when your best mate feels sorry for you and lets you stay in his spare room. I can see where this is going off.
Okay.
Waking up in the middle of the night, going to the loo in the broken ensuite.
Broken.
And not owning up in the morning was not a very nice way to say thank you, was it? Especially as you left the mess there and snuck off before anyone woke up. All you needed was a poo bag
and a keyboard.
Keyboard and a poo bag.
But surely...
A keyboard bag.
I mean, it's not his fault that the ensuite's broken, is it? I mean, he went in the right, but he didn't go in the laundry basket.
Needs to be aware of the fact of what he's doing.
Well, he's aware because he's on
he's
the...
He's not aware, is
well,
he?
He doesn't know that the ensuite's broken. That's
it's
my
not,
point.
It's well, not acceptable.
I think it was
it's
obvious.
Not, oh, right, okay. I have to work out whether the ensuite's working before I...
Well, I think you can assume that it should be, but when you pull the chain, I think that's the moment where you go, it's
when
fine.
I pull the chain?
Yes.
1920s? Where are we?
Clear up.
In this house.
Clear up after yourself.
If the loo's broken and he was in a real hurry, could he have gone in the sink?
Not for the particular
event.
He was, as my family used to say, trying hard.
Yes.
Okay.
Trying hard.
This was potty training, either for me or my brother.
For you? I thought you meant for your kids.
No. This was me or my brother. And
right.
he said,
where is Jonathan or where is Simon? He's trying hard.
Oh, right. Okay. That would be
code for...
Code.
Right.
And number two.
Yep.
That's all, the one.
All understood.
Anyway. Yeah.
Again, anyway, there's the edit point, and off we go.
Right, back to the confessions that made the that actually made the cut, and it's back to St Custard's for Nigel's confession, warm toast for tea.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession comes from Nigel. All right, Nigel, thank you very much. Simon, here is my confession regarding my former teacher, the late Mr. Bongo Giles. And this act for which I seek contrition occurred in the winter of 1978, when I was a relatively studious 14-year-old in an all-boys school, St Custard's. In Hull, East Yorkshire. St Custard's has been absent for a while, we're putting that right.
Yes.
I don't know how Bongo got his name. It was a name that had been passed down the years. Both my elder brothers had been taught by him at some point in the school. In fact, he was by far my favourite teacher, except for that time when he gave me the classic 100 lines, I must not yap in class. He taught me physics through O-level and then to A-level as well. He lived not far from me. We often chatted when we passed in the street after I'd left school and he'd retired, but I never dared tell him about this story. But here are the facts as they happened almost 50 years later. One winter's morning, Bongo was on duty on the school field with a mug of steaming hot tea in his hand, vainly trying to quell the inevitable snowball fight between 500 lads.
Oh my goodness.
You know how snowy weather nowadays always means indoor play? Well, here's one of the reasons why. Snowball fights are one of life's great joys. Gloves or no gloves? Is it the right snow or the wrong kind of snow? Big, soft, splatty snowball or small, compact, fast-flying snowball? All these decisions are vital and have to be taken in a split second. Sometimes you get it right, and sometimes this happens. You see, it was me that lobbed a snowball at a classmate in the distance. But, unlike Elvis Costello, my aim was not true. And this was a snowball whose trajectory curved like a pure sine wave, almost as if it were in slow motion, straight into Bongo's mug of steaming hot tea.
Oh, no.
Scalding him and soaking his clothes so much that he had to go indoors and seek medical assistance and a change of clothing. Despite an appeal at an unusually full school assembly the following morning for the perpetrator to come forward, I never owned up. And amazingly, no one, and here Nigel says, no one spragged on me.
What?
Which I haven't heard that as a phrase.
From St Custard's, maybe.
Anyway, no one told tales. Yeah, that's the way they talk at St Custard's. I spent the next few days lying low, avoiding him and hiding at the back of his excellent physics lessons in case my face brought about a deep-seated memory in his brilliant mind. Days turned into weeks, into months and even years until I was finally able to leave school and put it behind me. However, I have failed to fully do so until now. So there you have it. I finally said it. I've laid it bare for all to hear. It was me. It has haunted me for all these years, and I feel it's time to fess up, get it off my chest and ask for forgiveness. I honestly never intended to hit him with that snowball, but I have to say, I was rather proud of the way it curved, a shot I'd never be able to replicate in 1,000 years. Sorry, sir, you were and still are a true legend. That is some shot. If you, from a long distance, if you manage to get a snowball into your teacher's cup of tea. Even though, I mean, obviously, I mean, you say you love it, but that's a very careless and reckless thing to say, Matthew. Because, obviously, steaming hot tea, you can't mess around.
That's true.
You can't mess around.
No, no.
And Sister Susie is now about to take a hard line, I imagine.
Well, yeah, like, I hear what he's saying, Nigel. Like, it was his favourite teacher. You know, he really loved him. All sounds a little bit too little, too late, really. Because it was scalding hot tea. And if I had a cup of tea and someone spilt it, I'd be cross because you just like it's just a waste of tea. Not only as it potentially scalded him in places that you know we won't mention, but
He also needed a change of clothes. He probably ended up wearing some lost property. It just sounds terrible for Bongo. So for that reason, danger, danger.
Yeah.
Is that where he was holding the tea?
Well, I don't know. I think Susie's just imagined that actually he had, that it could have scalded it.
Could have, yes.
In his,
it's going to go down, isn't it?
That's true. That's true. It could only go down.
It could only go down. Yeah. But assuming it was quite high up, I was imagining it went on his shirt or something.
Yes,
but maybe on his trousers.
On something there. He's wearing someone else's trousers. Wow.
So and he spent the day in lost property.
Lost property as well. These are all twists.
He could have been wearing like a hockey skirt or something.
Hockey skirt, yes, for the rest of the day. Yes. Imagine that. I'm going to forgive. What teacher brings a cup of tea to a snowball fight? That makes no sense. And you would think that a physics teacher...
It's a physics lesson.
Physics teacher should have known that because of all of the thermal... dynamics and the rest of it. Yes, I'm going to forgive. Love the use of the sine wave. He'd have appreciated that, wouldn't he? Old Bongo Giles with his physics. So, in the words of Billy Ocean, get out of my snowball fight and into my car.
Yes.
I'm going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone.
What?
Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
That's because once again Matt gone on so long. I had to start the next record.
That did feel like it went on rather long, didn't
underneath him. But the sine, and I haven't heard of sines, cosines, tangents, and stuff since school.
Oh yeah. Sine waves.
Did you do sines, cosines, and tangents, Holly?
I don't remember.
Logarithms. Did you do logarithms?
No.
Did you have a logbook?
No. Don't remember that.
Okay.
No.
We're back in the ensuite, I think.
We are. Anyway. Pull the chain. Anyway.
Still to come, it's a Greek tragedy of a confession with Colin's tale wired for sound. But first, Gorgeous George's confession, the theme from Jaws.
Confess all. Simon Mayo's Confessions podcast.
Now, today's confession, it's probably a 12, I would say.
Oh, right.
Particularly if you're eating.
Okay, that's a good sign. I like it.
Yeah. And also... and I think everyone knows this, don't try any of this at home.
No.
Oh, no.
It comes from Gorgeous George. Thanks, Gorgeous George. Good day to the collective, Father Simon, Brother Matt, Sister Susie, and everyone else who knows me. This tale started as a young lad who had just produced two wonderful front teeth, which were unfortunately and fatefully taken away from me after a fall from a bicycle's crossbar and a friend landing on the back of my head.
Oh.
There's more of that to come.
Oh, right.
The two wonderful teeth were dislodged and it hurt like bilio, to put it mildly. This meant I had to have a lot of dental work done, as you can imagine, and over the next year, I had nerves drilled out.
Okay.
And other complicated matters. But in the end... my teeth were replaced by two metal rods on which new teeth were fixed. Okay?
Yes, got two rods and two teeth.
Two new teeth.
That's right. That's a lot of pain in those few paragraphs, I think. We now fast forward four decades.
Thank heavens for that.
40 years later, my girlfriend suggests that I get some new teeth fitted, which I agreed to as the old ones were a little discoloured and did not present quite as stylishly as I would like.
Okay.
So.
The teeth, not the girlfriend. Anyway,
yeah, that's right. I'm imagining. Well, who knows? Maybe both.
Could be.
So, with the new wonderful teeth at £400 a pop, I felt like a new man. And I had the grin of a Cheshire cat. Gone were the old rotten teeth, and in were new shiny whites, giving me a certain Hollywood swagger.
Oh.
Think George Clooney, think Jennifer Garner or Ryan Reynolds. I dazzled. Sadly, a few months later, whilst eating a crispy piece of pork crackling.
Of course.
My favourite.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's either that or Bombay mix.
Yeah, why not?
I noticed a gap. I thought, where's my tooth gone? To which the answer was, I had swallowed it.
Oh.
And that was the most expensive meal I've ever had. Now, my lovely lady was shown my new look, and with a look of horror, she said, you need to book the dentist immediately. So I did. I had 2 days to wait for the appointment, 2 days to consider my loss and keep my mouth shut. Soup and mushy peas were the only food allowed. Matt's favourite.
Yeah.
To be honest, Father Simon, I was pretty miffed at losing a 400 pound tooth.
Wow. 400 quid?
Yeah, 400 quid each.
Mm-hmm. Each?
Yeah, that's what he said. I mean, my new wonderful tooth, 400 quid each.
Goodness me.
Yeah. Do you not listen?
No. Transfixed. Go ahead. Anyway.
So he swallowed a 400 pound tooth.
400 pound tooth?
That's why it's the most expensive meal he's ever had.
Yeah. Mushy peas and soup, apparently. Anyway,
and then Gorgeous George says, I had a brainwave. Maybe I can salvage the tooth, I thought. Now, Father Sam, I'm no expert in human biology. I did what... That's exactly what he said. But I did what anyone else would have done. I sat patiently with a sieve in one hand...
Oh, no!
And a book in the other. Waiting for the blighter to appear.
Yeah.
And in the end, my patience and superior sifting skills were rewarded.
Oh.
And this, let me tell you, was on the actual day of the dentist visit. So I cleaned it, scrubbed it and bleached it, superglued it back into position and cancelled the dentist. Off I go round to the girlfriend's. On opening the door, I was politely asked to show off the work of the dentist. And I smiled, and on seeing the bright new tooth, I was greeted with a loving kiss. And many more since. I know I should have told my girlfriend, but I was afraid of no more loving kisses. I asked for her forgiveness, and I hope the kisses will continue. So she obviously didn't know until just now. As for the collective, we will see. Best wishes, Gorgeous George. Now, yes, well, precisely. The orchestra getting it absolutely right. But the problem with this is she's the woman that's actually doing the kissing. And you're the one with the all things considered, I suppose cleaning, scrubbing it and bleaching it, fine, but you don't glue in your own teeth, do you?
Well,
I would say that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, we're not dentists, are we?
No, I think that's
standard.
So I would say, on balance, don't do any of these things that Gorgeous George did. But yeah. Sister Suze, what do you say?
Yeah, I don't agree with anything that George has done. I think even if you have said to take it to the dentist to clean and sort it out and assess whether it can go back in your mouth. Just disgusting. What, a sieve? I hope
sieve in one hand, book in the other
afterwards, because George. So
when Matt said, here it comes,
all.
I think,
yep,
that's exactly right. Brother Matthew.
Yeah, I decided to forgive as soon as the sieve came out. Good work there. Well done. I mean, surely he'd have had a case if he managed, obviously, a bit of sifting and catching it. Couldn't he have just gone to the dentist and said, this cost 400 quid? Put it back in, surely. Maybe the dentist should have. I think I'd have got onto That's Life or something.
Parts and labour.
Parts and labour. Yeah, of course. Yeah. You've got to bring in the VAT as well. So I'm going to forgive. Did all he could. It's his mouth. She's obviously got to kiss him, but it's his mouth. And aren't we all just one happy family? So for those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
Hilarious revelations from a new generation of sinners.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Here we go with tonight's confession, which comes from Colin. Good evening, Colin. Father Simon, my confession takes us back to the 1970s, to a small state school with a twist. Part boarding, part day pupils, and very much stuck in a bygone era. Picture Hogwarts, but with fewer spells and more polyester. The masters roamed the corridors in flowing robes, and the school bell system ruled our lives with military precision. Bells rang for lessons, breaks, prep, tea, you name it, there was a bell for it.
Okay.
Wow.
I know there are a very few state boarding schools, and this is clearly one of them. But then, says Colin, someone in authority decided to modernise. Out went the trusty bells, and in came a speaker system that emitted a ghastly electronic whine. It was quieter than the bells, so speakers were installed in places that had previously enjoyed silence, including the school hall. The new system had two supposed advantages. It was automated, and it allowed our headmaster, Mr. Ronald Moore, to address the entire school like a budget Radio 4 host.
Oh, wow.
Wow, budget Radio 4.
Much amusement and the birth of Radio Ron. Through till 4 Ron? With Ronnie Moore. Well, I was heavily... Now, you have to understand, I was heavily involved in drama. And that year we were staging Antigone,
The Greek Tragedy. I was in charge of lighting. If you're unfamiliar with Antigone, let's just say it's not laugh a minute.
No.
Is an Athenian tragedy written by Sophocles around the year 442 BC. Yeah. It was first performed at the festival of Dionysius of the same year. She is the daughter of Oedipus king of Thebes.
Yeah. Thebes,
her mother or grandmother, no one's quite clear, is either Jocasta or Eurygenia. I hope that's all clear. Anyway, Father Simon, all you need to know is there are a bunch of weirdos. There are goats, horns, wine, and a lot of death. Ah, tragedies, huh? Directed by the lovely Miss Montgomery, the play demanded intensity and focus. But just as Antigone confronted King Creon in a pivotal life-or-death scene, the speakers let out their mournful whine, shattering the mood and reducing the tragedy to farce. I was enraged, but I knew what had to be done. The next day, I quietly disconnected all the speakers in the hall. Problem solved, or so I thought. Later that week, Mr. Moore, you remember him, Through Till Four with Ronnie Moore.
Ronnie Moore, yeah.
Attempted to broadcast one of his Radio Ron sermons, but from the hall came only chaos. Pupils chatting, laughing, pretending to be Noddy Holder or Susie Quattro, utterly unaware of his dulcet tones. A brief investigation followed, and soon enough, I was hauled out of English and into the headmaster's office. Someone had grasped me up. Mr. Moore was not amused. He loved the microphone. He loved to broadcast around the school, but what I hadn't considered, and what he pointed out with considerable drama, was that the speaker system was also part of the fire safety system. Had there been a blaze, and had half the school perished in a fiery inferno, it would have been entirely my fault, he said, pointing a withering finger at me, which seems a little harsh. I took the feedback on the chin, life lessons and all that. Years later, I was helping at a drama competition, and who should be the judge but the fragrant Miss Montgomery herself? And this is where I realised the consequences of my actions. Over a drink, she confessed that she'd received a right royal telling off over the speaker sabotage. Her career had been on the line, and all because of me. She said her life as a teacher was only saved by the fact that Antigone was a roaring success.
Of course, it always is.
What a relief that is. So, Father Simon, I do not seek forgiveness from Mr. Moore, Through Till Four with Ronnie Moore, a lovely man and a great headmaster, sadly no longer with us. Nor do I seek forgiveness from the fragrant Miss Montgomery, who, as the only adult in the room, might have foreseen the consequences. But I do seek forgiveness from my fellow pupils, whose lives I inadvertently put at mortal danger, all in the name of Greek tragedy. Well, let that be a lesson to everyone about the perils of Greek tragedy. Stephen Fry, are you listening? Okay, let's check in with Sister Suze. What do you say to Colin, please?
Well, Colin, I have to say, I do think he was being a little bit, presumptuous there. Because, yes, what would have happened if there was a fire and then nobody in the hall knew about it? Just danger, I think, there.
Yes.
Also, not sure you can say a bunch of weirdos when he's referring to all of the characters in the Greek tragedy.
It's a long time ago. They're all dead now.
They're all dead. It's 400 BC. Colin. It's fine. I'm not going to forgive. No.
Brother Matthew.
Quite the review, though. Bunch of weirdos, Antigone. Yeah. I'm going to forgive. It sounded like Ronnie Moore liked the sound of his own voice, didn't he? Ronnie Moore. He probably had it coming. Miss Montgomery should have taken control, shouldn't she? Or maybe not. But certainly didn't deserve to do her job.
She didn't.
Well, who knows? But well done with Antigone. Great news. So for all those reasons and the Greek tragedy, I'm going to forgive.
Confess All, Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
I hope that the last
20 seconds of that was like I tossed words up in the air and wherever they fell.
Yeah.
Well, then, Greek tragedy, blah, there you go, blah, blah, blah. Mm. Made no sense.
You'd make a great Supreme Court judge.
Yes.
I think, well, that was a good thing, but maybe it wasn't.
But won't we all consider this?
She's guilty, but maybe she isn't.
Loved it.
I have no idea what you were saying at all.
No.
Mm. I don't think Susie has either.
Nope.
Anyway, and on that moment of complete incoherence, it brings us to the end. And also, can I just say, 4th century BC in Greece, pretty weird place.
Why was that?
All things considered, when you read about
kind of thing they were into.
Yeah, there was a lot going on.
See?
There was a lot going on.
There's a lot of weird stuff going on.
What are we able to get into the weird stuff? No, I'm loving this. I think we've learned so much, haven't we?
That we couldn't
the
say
weird
weirdos.
Greeks and the vocal fry. But it's all happening.
A thousand years ago, there's a lot of weirdness going on.
A lot of weirdness in a thousand years.
I don't think we're in trouble for that.
No.
Anyway, it is the end of the podcast. If you've got a tale of guilt, maybe inspired by one of the tales that you've heard, confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Now over to Brother Matt for this week's secret code phrase.
The secret code phrase this week is chip shop, chip shop. If you can write it, then send it to Simon Mayo via any of his social media channels, which is now including, you're now on Instagram, aren't you?
I am on Instagram. Or you can send it to Matt, because you're on Twitter still.
I'm still on the thing that used to be called Twitter, yes. Yes, yes
so
I am.
You can, so Blue Sky, I'm Simon Mayo.
Yes.
Threads and Instagram, but I haven't worked out how Instagram works yet, so I wouldn't necessarily encourage a reply there.
sure, you'd see a reply. They just send. I don't know how it works either.
Unless I've got someone here saying, "No, you do it like this, Grandad."
Okay, right.
I have absolutely
right.
No idea. If you've enjoyed this episode, please do leave us a 5-star review and share the podcast with a stranger in the shower. We'll be back next week with another fresh batch of confessions. Until then, from the pub, Sister Susie says,
"Ta-ra!"
From the cupboard of Tat, Sister Holly performs,
"See you later, alligator."
And from Matthew, in his usual guttery position,
"Goodbye."
Thank you for listening.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
Right, enough of that. It's
bad. Can I just say, Matt's anyway edit points are awful. They
don't
work.
They're so annoying.
Leave all of it in.
And it doesn't. Yeah.